Today, I hope to have an amazing episode because I have a guest who, like, by all means necessary, has influenced and inspired my habit for reading. Abigail, my sister, my cousin, welcome to the Weasel Genesis podcast. How are you?
Fine. High energy level.
So I love having these conversations with you. I'm very happy that you're on the podcast today. Today I'm not talking about anything related to the Bible. I am talking about some real life stuff, although like finances do actually come from the Bible. But just so that my listeners will understand, this is just like a special segment. Abigail reached out to me and she talked about another podcast. So I'll just go ahead and let her introduce that podcast to everyone.
Okay, so the podcast is The Table, hosted by Anthony O'Neill, who works for Ramsey Solutions. And of course, once you work for Ramsey Solutions, you are definitely talking about finances. So, as you mentioned, the episode title is Living Your Life on a Budget, or Can You Live the Life You Want on a Budget? The title always messes me up. So,
because you like living your life above
you. True. Okay, actually, I waited for you to end in that one. No, I do live my life on a budget.
I hear you. Everyone's budget is relative, so
true. Yeah. And don't forget, we spoke earlier about living your best life. So I try to put that in the budget as well.
I see. So the fun too is but I mean, budget doesn't necessarily mean, as we heard in the episode, it doesn't necessarily mean being like stingy. It's just like making sure that you put the things that are important in your life, like you prioritize them, so you know where your money is going.
I can say maybe we can also give it another definition. You've been in the banking sector before, and I haven't, but for me, budgeting is basically about you being accountable, making sure you know where every penny, every dollar, every city goes to.
Exactly.
Basically.
Well, interesting. Would you like to go ahead and start about what you you mentioned to discuss what we learned from the podcast? I'll let you go ahead and lead.
Sure. So I think the lessons I took from it, one, I'm all for female empowerment. I just like it when, or I love to see when ladies are leading the front line. And this particular lady, I think you were even intrigued about her name, the Bougie Banker.
Yeah.
So, first of all, that was the first thing for me, that it was a lady that was talking about budgeting. Because, you know, usually when ladies and these words don't really go together, women and budgeting or women and finances, it's always the notion is always once we get money, we want to spend, we want to blow maybe a trip here and there, some shoes and bags. Maybe just some eating out, just some takeout. But I was just happy that it was a lady leading it. I think she also made mention of their culture, the way she's bringing up her children, of making them aware of the need to work and your keep, and not have that entitlement mentality that what your parents have is yours, or maybe you have an inheritance awaiting you in the near future.
I totally agree with that. And as her name is Raquel Curtis, the Bougie Banker, as you mentioned, I was actually very intrigued as well. Her giving these tips, and I think from a female perspective, like, it's really important because most females low-key manage the home. So it's actually like a really good thing. And I think in terms of you talking about the children, it's really important that you know, parents are not going to be with their kids forever. At some point, the life cycle is going to end, and you as an individual has to stand on your own. So it's not about what you have, but how you can manage it. So I really like that you pointed out that fact.
And not to digress from the podcast, but I think for me, I'm quite happy because, you know, in the Black culture or the Black setting, finances are, or let's say budgeting or taking your financial future into your hand is not really spoken of. I mean, there's that thing where you cater for the family and the cycle continues, that loop continues.
Paycheck to
we don't really, you know, have that financial literacy going on for a lot of Black folks. And I'm just happy that AO is really centered on that.
And I also want to point out, because you did mention when we were pre-recording regarding how children have to earn, she's training her kids on how to earn money and giving them that perspective from the start. I think that when I used to work at the bank as well, the bank actually had this project that was catering to low-income communities, low-income schools in the community. So basically, we would go there and set up like a make-believe life, and then they would assume those roles, and then we would give them money and give them a budget in order for them to see the kind of choices that they would make. And after going through those things, like, the bank which I worked for believed that these children would influence the lives of their parents who might not have like higher education or stuff like that. So I think that you're right when it comes to Black people and money. I think that that's something that we're depriving ourselves of. That's a good podcast choice. I'm really happy you introduced me to it.
And you know, AO is all about the faith as well, just like us. And I don't know if you've noticed, but within a Christian community, it's, of course, it's giving is quite paramount, but we don't take financial literacy seriously as well. It might be my opinion, but for me, I mean, in Ghana, when you are all about your finances, when you are budgeting, when you are serious about where you want to see yourself, maybe regarding your finances in a certain, maybe your short-term goal or your long-term goal, I don't know, but people tend to, within the church or within the Christian community, you are seen to be too, stingy. Maybe stingy might not be the word, but then you are taking your finances seriously. Like, you're accounting for every penny. And I don't know if you get what I'm trying to talk about, but
I know what you mean.
The Christian community, that they just don't take it seriously, basically. And it's, no one is going to come from out there and pump. Fine, you do get some people putting money in the church, but how many? I mean, most people who don't belong to the Christian community will definitely put their money in philanthropy, or maybe curing malaria, or flying to the moon. No shots fired at anyone. But I'm just saying that it's their money, and they have the right, whether you like it or not, to direct the funds wherever they desire. So if we are in the faith or in the Christian community, we also have to take the right steps to ensure that we better, I mean, when you started the podcast, you said bettering our lives, as ourselves. So we do need to take the right steps to educate ourselves financially. So you see, when we do that, when we educate ourselves, we then, it's a ripple effect. Now we educate those close to us, and then we educate our families, and then it becomes a community, you know, and that's how it goes.
And that's definitely right. And I mean, it's true that it's important to give, but you also have to know what you're giving. Like, if you don't even know what your expenses are, what your budget is, then you wouldn't really know, like, what is left or what you have to give. So I definitely agree with that. One thing that I want to touch on about the bougie banker that she mentioned was the cost of survival, because that's one thing for me that I have focused on very early on in life. I did have the opportunity to have like a very good structure when it comes to finances, thanks to my parents. But she talked about cost of survival and how a lot of people don't know what the cost of survival is. I remember one time, you know, I was talking about, you know, always making sure that I had some funds stacked up for times of emergency, just because I've lived on my own for a very long time and I know how things can be. I also am not the type of person who likes to like really borrow money from people. So I always want to make sure that, like, I think I'm very aware of my cost of survival. And I think that a lot of people, especially like all over the world, don't have this awareness of having an emergency fund. I mean, I've had people tell me, oh my God, you're stingy. You said you had this saved up, but now we need to do this and you're not taking that money. I'm like, I can't touch this money because this money is for emergency. This is my cost of survival. And that's actually one testimony that I had during the whole of 2020, for a whole year, I didn't work and I don't even know how I survived, but I did. So that's my cost of survival story.
Yeah, I think you're right. Most of us don't take into account, and definitely, you know, I would want to link it to budgeting as well, because once you account for everything you spend, that's how come you can know your cost of survival, if I'm not wrong, because you know that, okay, this is how much that goes into groceries for a month. You use this amount on your car for fuel, you know, monthly basis. So you know at least this amount can take you for 6 months, roughly. But coming back to it, most of us, of course, excluding us, but most of us just live, as you said, paycheck to paycheck. And it's something that we just need to hit on every time and remind people that you need to live, because definitely when you take these difficult, when you make these difficult decisions, you are living beyond yourself. You are not living for yourself, because of course you living like this is you having family in mind, you having just not yourself in mind, but family and friends, so that whenever someone calls on you, you can be able to extend an arm
to them. Very, very important. And I think it makes sense. She did talk about Roth. She talked about, I think it was something about a retirement account. Well, something sort of like a retirement account, but for children. So like planning your children's future. I am aware that a few banks do have that in Ghana, when it comes, I think it's like Edu Fund or something like that. But I think even in general, like I always say from year to year, like if when I was a teenager, I always say, I'm gonna save $1 or one CD or something like for my kids. And if I look back, if I did save all those money every single day till now, I believe I would have had like a substantial amount. So it doesn't really even matter if you're earning interest or not. The fact that you're just putting some money away is important for like emergencies.
And to add to that, I think in as much as you are putting the money away, let's say maybe you were putting it down for your child, definitely when your child is of age, they will have it in mind that, okay, I've got this amount in the bank and I've made it. But once their education has not been impressed upon that child, definitely the child is going to blow through that account as well,
right?
Because definitely when you hand over the account to the child should have it in mind that, okay, I'm starting life on a different level from my colleagues or my friends. I've been given this rare opportunity to start life at a higher level.
Yes.
So it should, the child should see it as a privilege and not like an opportunity to party or to live life.
That's really true. But it does come back to, so I mean, I think you're right when it comes to education. And I mean, if you save this money this whole time, obviously you wouldn't just like hand it over to your kids. I think I want to take a note from the Bougie Bankers, advice about teaching kids how to earn money. I have a friend who actually did say that when he was younger, his dad would always give him money to read books. And not only does he manage his own finances well to date without even his father stressing on financial education, but he's also very, very good with like a lot of books and is very like he's a very well-rounded individual. So I think that basic concept of letting someone earn something definitely impacts their lives.
Yeah, that's so true. It brings to mind something my dad used to do to us when we were quite young. Every Sunday evening, he would bring the car out from the garage and I would wash the car. And I earned 2 cedi every Sunday evening. Of course, I didn't save it, but it got me, if
you
it didn't complete that work.
I
don't know if you've noticed, but I just want to be doing something. I need to be earning. I need to, you know, make things happen, basically. So
which is a beautiful thing. Yeah. So that sense of urgency about, you know, getting things done, just being very, very, very productive, is important. Yeah.
Important.
So I just wanna take a few minutes to, before we end the podcast, you did mention to speak about what we've achieved this year so far and where we're headed since we're halfway through 2021. Okay, so let's end this podcast on a good note. What stands out to you in 2021? We are halfway through the year. What are your plans regarding money? What have you achieved so far? You can take it from any point.
Okay, so at the beginning of the year, I had this book, the diary, actually. I just write everything that I want to accomplish. I don't have like a yearly timeline, just anything I want to accomplish. So it's not really categorized, but I'm just picking the financial part out. And one of them was to open a CSD account. So I opened one with IC Securities, and I've already funded the account. So basically to buy stocks and trade in stocks, you know, various companies in Ghana and some African countries as well. So I would say I set out to do that within the year. It might have taken some time, but I've started it. Not where I want. I might not be where I actually want to be at the moment, but at least I've started it.
Which is a lovely thing to hear. It's always taking action and keeping the ball rolling that's important. So just to piggyback off of what you said, for my financial goals or whatever I've achieved this year, it hasn't been so much, but first of all, I just want to say I'm still grateful that I have survived the pandemic and I'm still alive and living. I actually did remember that I did have some trading accounts while I was working at the bank. So I went ahead and did all my password resets and stuff, and I was able to invest in a few stocks globally. So I was able to do that as well, which I'm very happy about because it's opened like my mind to stocks and like just learning about new things. And also, surprisingly, today I was going through one of my notebooks and I saw that I had made some financial affirmations. I don't remember what book I read, but it had to do with the names of like the different names of God. And I think for Jireh, which is God is my provider, I put that I will never like money is not a problem to me. It will never be a problem, and I would never lack anything. So when I looked at it today, I was very, very surprised, and I just really want to just thank God for that, because it just reminded me that you know, like I'm on the right track.
Yeah. You need to send me those affirmations, though.
Okay, I will send them to you. Definitely, it's been great having you, Abigail. You're totally amazing. I love having my own family on my podcast and talking about amazing things. I hope that we can come back together and review another podcast soon. But I'll put the description of Anthony O'Neill's podcast of what we discussed, and of course, any other resources. Anything you'd like to share before you leave?
I'll just like say it's actually a privilege to be invited on this podcast, and I hope the listeners increase, and it becomes definitely what you want it to be. I'm sure you have a vision for it, so it's how you and God want it to be. That's the most important. Whatever we wish is not the most important thing, but what you want, because it's your dream.
Yes, I definitely appreciate it. And on that note, I just want to thank everybody who has been contributing. In fact, that we do have subscribers to this podcast. And I think this year, one of the financial goals of the podcast, we've been able to raise approximately $400, which we used in supporting the Shepherd's Rod Foundation. It's an organization in Kumasi that actually caters to orphans. So that is really good. It's been great having Abigail. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the We So Genesis podcast. It's been Shadia, and keep your financial goals in place.